إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وأتباعه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزًا عظيمًا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, the way He deserves to be praised. And we bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone, having no partners in His kingship and lordship, and the right to be worshipped alone. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His slave and His messenger. We ask Allah to exalt His mention, grant Him peace, and send His salutations and His blessings upon Him, and upon His wives, and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. Brothers in Islam, you might be familiar with the term irony. And it is quite ironic how misguided some have become. And it is even more amazing when the misguidance becomes so prevalent, so encompassing, that the vast majority adhere to this misguidance. And then you reach a point where, when guidance is presented, it is looked down upon, frowned upon, and labeled to be some sort of fanaticism and radicalism. And for those who don't know the history, or are not familiar with the foundations of Islam, they can easily fall into this trap. Therefore, it becomes an obligation on each and every one of us, to the best of his ability, to create awareness when certain occasions come around. I'm sure you figured out what I'm referring to. We are only a few days from one of the worst celebrations in human history. And no, it is not Christmas. That is expected. You expect a Christmas from the Christians. Because Christians go in whichever direction society wants them to go, the culture wants them to go, or even the opinion of the pastor and church wants to go. He can come up with his own school of thought within 15 minutes, and he will have a congregation that will follow him, and they will name the church accordingly, and that will become an official denomination within Christianity. Nothing surprising. And we see this happening on constant basis throughout time. It's expected when it happens from those who have not accepted Allah as the ultimate object of worship and have not adhered to the way of life and the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's expected. There's nothing shocking about it. What is shocking, however, is when those who have declared the testimony of faith with its continuation wind up falling into that which is even greater in some cases than any other celebration. Because the other celebrations are foreign to Islam, but the so-called Al-Mawlid al-Nabawi, it is not foreign. In a sense, we made it. Or we accepted it. I will tell you who made it. And it becomes so prevalent and so normal that if you have an issue with it, you are the criminal who doesn't love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's preaching some new modern type of Islam that is extreme. That's ajeeb. That is among the most amazing things that we experience on a yearly basis. But here's the irony. When you think about ironic situations, many things come to mind. Here's the irony. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. That is the only authentic piece of information about his death that the scholars agreed about. What they all disagreed about, and they don't have a single authentic report, is when he was born. So people are celebrating his birthday on his death day. That's how blinded someone can be. But why would they do this? From where did this come? Go through Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood. Go through all the books of hadith. Find a single reference that any companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the generation after, or the generation after, ever knew the whole idea of celebrating his birthday did not exist. Not that he was there and there was difference of opinion, because we have certain things that the companions differed upon. From a fiqh point of view, from an ibadah point of view, they differed on so many subject matters. They agreed on aqidah, the belief system. They differed on different subject matters. So if it was something that was there and they differed, we would say, yalla, well, at least we have a discussion. It didn't exist. In the 4th century, there was a group of people known as Al-Ubaydiyya, who are from the Shi'i sect of Ismailiyya, who called themselves Fatimiyya conveniently, because they wanted to attribute themselves to Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these people were ex-Jews, Zanadiqa. They were heretics from a Jewish background, hypocrites, who took over the rulership in Egypt, and they caused suffering to the Egyptian people to the point that they would make them work day and night. And the Egyptian people suffered so much at their hands that they had to eat cats and dogs for survival. They prevented the Egyptians from praying Taraweeh. And they used to hang in the masajid different posters cursing Abu Bakr and Umar and forcing the people to curse them. And those are the ones who reached Mecca and tried to demolish the Kaaba and took Al-Hajar al-Aswad and ran away with it. These people that came into the religion and created the Durzi sect, where one of them claimed to be an ilah after Allah. The most wicked of human beings, who wanted to fiddle with the minds of the Muslims, who wanted to play games with the people. They looked at the time, the day of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, let's make a celebration out of this, as means of mocking our intelligence and our knowledge. And they succeeded. And now, it's a festival. By all means, special food, special sweets, special dhikr, special poetry, special dancing, you name it. You all know, depending on your country. Each one of us, depending on his country, there's a customized version of Al-Mawlid al-Nabawi. And each, all of them compete in blasphemy and craziness. Some of them, they welcome the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who supposedly attends this gathering. So they all stand up and they call this the Hadra. And they shake hands with supposedly the Messenger of Allah. And they recite poetry that give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a status greater than Allah himself. Because supposedly, all of the creation was created from the nur of the Prophet ﷺ. Some insane things that Christians don't even say. Jews don't even say. Hindus don't even believe. Those so-called Muslims introduce this kind of nonsense and people are blind and they follow. This is the history. This is how it started. And it went through phases of being active and dying out. Every time the scholars would create awareness and warn the people and the people would abandon it, some funny guy will eventually come and bring it back. To the point now that this is a global event that will pop up on your calendar. Your non-Muslim calendar. Will put, if you add the Islamic calendar, it will put on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal, the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And what does that mean? You want to celebrate. What do you want to celebrate? You want to celebrate the day he was born? Do you think any one of us has understood this religion or loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than his companions? La wallah. Is it possible that he failed in communicating the message to us? La wallah. Is it possible that the Sahaba knew this information and kept it away from us? La wallah. None of these apply. The only thing left is that you are indirectly accusing Allah of not fulfilling His promise. When Allah revealed the ayah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, this day I have perfected your religion for you, you're claiming when that ayah was revealed, something was still missing. And the mawlid now is that one piece of the puzzle that completes the picture. Because if you don't celebrate it, you're guilty in some way now. And around this time, I start getting tens, hundreds of messages from different people. My family, they're celebrating mawlid. What is my position? Can I go? They're going to have lunch before so. Can I go? They're going to bring some sweets that are specific to the mawlid. Can I eat them? It became a burden on the Muslims now. The person now feels like he's odd and weird amongst his own family members because he's simply doing something that the Prophet didn't do. The Sahaba didn't do. Those who came after them didn't do willingly. They had the choice. The Prophet ﷺ did tell us what to do. If you really, really, really want to do something that is connected with his birth, he already mentioned that he fasts on Monday because he was born on Monday. You want to follow the sunnah? Tafaddal Mawlana. Fast on Monday every week. Fast on Monday. This is an actual sunnah from the Prophet ﷺ related to his day of birth. But Mawlid might fall on a Wednesday. How are you going to bring a relation with these two? It is among the most baseless celebrations in this religion. And we have reached a point in time where the situation of the Muslims continue to deteriorate and become worse and worse, that if we don't have a campaign of our own against these bid'ah, then our situation will only get worse. And you can only be nice and keep quiet for so long. But I believe we've reached a point where now we have to counter this behavior. Not only be passive, not only not engage, no. We have to actively stop this nonsense with wisdom. Not by being violent and running into a mawlid and beating people up, say, wallahi, this is my means. Please, let's not be naive. I'm referring to awareness. I'm referring to actively speaking to our family members, educating them on the subject matter, learning the issue, knowing how to discuss it. Perhaps Allah will guide from your 50 family members 5, and then next year another 5. And eventually this thing will wear out. It will vanish. It will disappear. But we cannot allow this to continue. Because it is an insult to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a yearly basis where his name is being used in vain, if we may say these words. His name is being belittled by singers and dancers. In His name, free mixing takes place. In His name, people do all types of haram. And I've seen some videos online that I can't even fathom. People break dancing depending on their culture. It's a complete concert with women singing on stage, with women dancing on stage. And this is the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahi, this is nonsense. And then those people want to turn around and point fingers at those who don't partake in this and say, you don't love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because I'm adhering to the sunnah, I became the criminal. But this is how facts are twisted. This is how things change when we fail in fulfilling our duties. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us guidance. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. No doubt, intentions have their weight and their value in Islam. And this is one of the most critical points to address. Whenever you engage in this argument with the Mawlid celebrators, the idea behind it always is, this is a good intention. I have a good intention. I'm trying to create awareness about the seerah. We discuss the seerah. We read parts of the seerah. We recite Quran. We do dhikr. And so they bring this argument that we're doing good deeds. Forget about the event. The fact that good deeds are taking place is sufficient. And we say, absolutely not. Had there been no foundations in Islam regarding this subject matter, maybe you will get away with it. But when you have explicit ayat and ahadith from the Prophet ﷺ telling you otherwise, then you can no longer go with it. And you can no longer get away with it. When the Prophet ﷺ said, as in the hadith of Aisha, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Anyone who does an act that is not in agreement with this affair of ours will have it rejected. In another riwayah, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. And the hadith is in Bukhari. Whoever introduces anything into this affair of ours, this deen of ours, that is not part of it, will have it rejected. Allah will not accept it. As for the intentions of the people, in a sense that they didn't know, they were ignorant, we say this affair is between them and Allah. We're not here to demonize certain victims of the Mawlid. Because we have to understand that this is something that overtook the Ummah in such a way where many people just don't know any better. Meaning there's a large group of people, if educated, will stop. They simply do what they found their forefathers doing. We have to be compassionate with these people. The aggressiveness in their discussion is with the innovators who introduce this, or who continue to introduce this after they have known it is wrong. The ones who arrange and organize these events. But for some of the attendees, they might not know any better. It is our job to bring them to safety. It is our job to explain to them the seriousness of the subject matter. Because the Mawlid is only one example. It's one example of many other celebrations that happen on annual basis. Mother's Day, Trees Day, Father's Day, Workers' Day, you name it. And if you want to know the basis of the subject matter, when you're free, you can refer to a lecture I delivered on this topic titled, Can I Celebrate This? You look for it on YouTube. And there we mention why in Islam, the only thing acceptable, the only Eid acceptable is Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Any other type of Eid, something that happens on annual basis, is not valid in Islam. Whether it is of religious nature or it isn't of religious nature. So the Mawlid falls into the category of being a religiously, annually innovated celebration. That's double trouble. And it entails insult to the Prophet ﷺ and lies against him. This is if we're assuming there's no shirk involved.
Like I said, in many of these places, like Qasidat al-Burda, which is recited in most of the Mawalid, it contains clear-cut, pure shirk in this famous poem that Al-Buwaisiri had written in praise of the Prophet ﷺ. Wherein he said in the poetry, وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. From among the knowledge which you have, from among part of the knowledge you have, is the knowledge of the tablet and the pen. The pen which Allah commanded to write everything. And اللوح المحفوظ, which has everything. This, according to him, is part of the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ. That's superior to Allah. Besides telling him in the poetry, who besides you do we seek refuge with? Not with Allah. Not أعوذ بالله. No. أعوذ برسول الله. حاشا لله. This is the message. These are the type of poems that people are happy with. Often they don't even understand the content. They just recite them and sing them along. But this is the result of our negligence. This is the result of us not understanding why Islam is what it is. What makes us unique? What differentiates us from other prophets that Allah sent and other scriptures that Allah revealed? Mind you, brothers, we don't say the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is the only messenger and the Quran is the only revelation. Never. We acknowledge and believe in hundreds and thousands of prophets and messengers that Allah sent, whom Allah gave wahi, revelation to. Sometimes by guidance, sometimes in actual scriptures. What makes us different? The fact that in their religion, the preservation was not guaranteed. Allah did not guarantee the preservation of their text. So they continued to innovate and change until they lost it completely. And now you can barely find traces of truthfulness in what they teach. In our case, Allah made the miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the eternal nature of his message. The eternal nature of the Quran and the Sunnah is what makes them unique and what makes us the last nation and what makes them the final messenger and the seal of prophets. So people cannot change. But look how much we've allowed to happen. So we need to restore our religion back by actively engaging in intellectual and educated discussions with the people that have gone astray. Not to create more division, not to create hatred, not to create problems, but to create awareness and bring harmony to the Muslims. Many Allah have guided throughout the years because of simply being told about the truth. You could probably relate in your own way how you practiced Islam back home and how you practice Islam now. Simply because you learned things here, possibly from the Dawah Center, that were never told to you in your country. No preacher will dare to say this on the minbar in your country, in my country. Because there's a lot of politics involved and sects take over a whole masjid. And the only thing that is preached from this minbar is the ideology of that school they follow. Whether it is aqidah or manhaj, they will preach what they want you to hear. And you as a person who adheres will just follow like the sheep. But you move out of this vicious cycle and you start hearing, you start reasoning. Wait a second, I have a brain Allah gave me. What is the evidence for this? I don't care if my uncle and my father and my grandfather did it. Where's the evidence for the validity of this act? And when you realize there isn't any, you just abandon it. That's just the way it works. We need to be that person who brings that message to our beloved Muslims all over the world. Each one of you can make a difference. Don't be passive about this. Don't just let it slide. Get involved. Read articles. There are many articles beautifully written, authentic, with references and evidences for every statement about why this is unacceptable. Share it with the people. Perhaps this will be a good cause and a good initiative that will help us be those who are the initiators of the Mawlid fade away. The fade out of this Mawlid celebration. Inshallah, in a few years, we won't hear about it. Except in some rural areas where people have absolutely no access to knowledge. But for the masses of Muslims, we need to ditch this celebration and truly adhere to the Sunnah, which we are all guilty of being, having shortcomings in this regard. If you truly love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let's try to live like him. Not celebrate something that he didn't celebrate, didn't speak about, didn't even know about. That is the definition of true love. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub, اصرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا واستر عيوبنا وتب علينا وارحمنا واهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا من المهتدين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.